is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And we're looking at the first four verses of chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me." May the Lord bless that short reading to us as we prepare our hearts to hear what he has to say to us.
And let's just pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we pray this morning that you would allow us to forget all other things for this particular moment in time, and that you would allow us to focus in on you and your word. I just pray this morning, Father God, that the words of my mouth, that the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. For this we pray and this we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There is a story about a little girl who experienced one of those major breakthroughs in her life. She had learned how to tie her shoes. But instead of excitement, this poor little girl was overcome by tears. Her father said to her, "Why are you crying?" "I have to tie my shoes," she said. "You just learned how to," said her dad. "It isn't that hard, is it?" "I know," she wailed, "but I'm going to have to do it for the rest of my life." I believe for many of us, that same feeling comes upon us when we learn about our Christian responsibility for financial giving. We know it's a responsibility. We put something in the offering plate to appease our conscience, but we really do not want to discuss the words giving and sacrifice in the same sentence, especially if it's something that we know we're going to have to do for the rest of our lives. For some of us, we may never have heard of some of the principles of giving, and so I want to address that this morning. For others of us, we've heard it before and think to ourselves, we know it all. Maybe we do, but then again, I simply want to refresh our memories this morning and hopefully refresh the manner of our giving. And if you're here for the first time or just dropping in and visiting and you're thinking, boy, these Christians don't half like to talk about money, is that all they ever do? Then be assured that this is not something you hear every Sunday from the pulpit. I preach on many things, always from the book. And I think it's only three times in my ministry have I ever specifically preached on giving. But it's an important practice for us, something for us to be encouraged in. And so I hope and pray this morning that you will be encouraged, that you won't feel the burden of having to give for the rest of your lives, but that it will be a joy and it will be a delight to do week by week, month by month, year by year. Our text, as Ian read to us, is from 1 Corinthians 16, and we think of giving to God this morning. It's interesting to me that Paul was just given the most remarkable words to the Corinthian believers in chapter 15. Always good to set our text in context. And when we're going through a book week by week, it's easy to do because we know what's come before. So let me just quickly give you the context. Chapter 15, Paul has spoken some great and wonderful truths that inspire us and that uplift us. He has shared about the gospel and what a glorious subject. He then spoke of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that just thrills our hearts. And he finished with those wonderful words, with that great cry there in chapter 15. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is defeated. Sin has no more hold over us. A wonderful chapter. And then Paul turns to giving. And we think to ourselves, what a drab way to end his letter. And yet what better way to do it in so many ways. He has just reminded the believers of Christ's death and resurrection. He has refreshed their memories that Christ died to save them from their sins. For there was no other way for that to happen other than for Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. And chapter 15 in verses 3 and 4, he shared that very thing with the believers. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and then he appeared to Peter and to the 12 and to others beside. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He gave his all for each one of us. You know, Alistair Begg this week at the Ministers' Conference shared a simple illustration in talking that I'd never quite grasped or thought of before. Do you know, he spoke of a dirty glass. And the very fact that the only way for that dirty glass to get clean was for something else to become dirty. And so, of course, the person takes the dirty glass and they place it in the clean water and they wash it and the glass becomes clean. But guess what? The water is now dirty. And so on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, who was the perfect Lamb of God, the one without spot and without blemish, the only clean one, took on the dirt, the mud, the mire. He took on our sin. And he suffered and died in our place. He gave his all for us. And Paul speaks of that to remind the Corinthian believers of all that Jesus Christ did for them. And as he speaks of Jesus giving his all, as he speaks of Jesus taking on our sin upon the cross, of offering us forgiveness from it, redemption, salvation, atonement, all those wonderful words that we try and water down and forget about because people don't understand them. Friends, they are wonderful words that remind us that we are saved because Jesus died in our place. He redeemed us. He paid a price. And so, of course, Paul speaks of all of that in chapter 15. And do you know, after listening to Alistair Begg this week on the persuasive nature of preaching, where he spoke from 1 Corinthians, encouraging us to implore, to beseech people. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. To implore, beseech people with the gospel. I almost wanted to throw aside the giving and get up and just do 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. That we might be encouraged again about the gospel. But you know, this next bit is here because Paul sees it as significant and he sees it as important. Paul speaks of giving to God and to God's people. Out of thankful and grateful hearts, we long to give. God it was who saved us and redeemed us through the blood of Jesus. We should want, naturally, to give our all back to Him from thankful and grateful hearts. All of our life, all of our time, all of our talents, all of our treasure. And that, I think, is why Paul speaks of giving here. And I just want to encourage us to consider giving this morning. I want us to think through why we give and how we give. I want to encourage us all to go away. Not just now, you might do some of it as we think through these words. But I want you to encourage you to go away with God's word. To read it through again and to consider your own giving this week. It may be that we need to commit to giving regularly. It may be that we need to review what we give and consider how we do that. It may be that we have never thought consciously about giving and we simply drop whatever change is in our pockets and our purses into the offering plates on a Sunday. Hopefully from today, we will at least think through what we offer to God. Paul begins in verse 1. Now about the collection for God's people. Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to begin a financial collection for the Christians in Jerusalem, for the saints of that holy city had fallen upon difficult times. And you can go back to Acts 11 and Galatians 2 to read a little of that. They were experiencing tremendous persecution and economic struggles. Christians have a responsibility, as we learn in 1 John 3, to help the needy, especially when those folks belong to the household of God. Though this text deals with a special offering, and there is a place for that, it does provide us here with five biblical principles that apply to our standard ongoing giving to the church in support of the Lord's work. And this morning we're going to uncover those five principles and see how they apply to us. They are in God's word. They aren't Hamish's words this morning. And if you think they are, then challenge me afterwards. But let's clear up one little bit first. I've started a list, I think, now, of words that are unacceptable to use in church. A few months ago, we spoke of the word fine. And now, most people on a Sunday morning, when I say to them on the way out the door, how are you today? Most people will say, I'm good. Or most people will say, well, do you know what? I'm struggling a little bit. Most people bite their tongue and stop using that word fine, which is brilliant. And so the next word I want to get rid of is the word collection. We spoke a little bit about this at the deacon's meeting the other week. Collection. Collection conjures up that word that we're collecting bits and bobs. It is the notion of reaching into our pocket and gathering the dross that's left over. What Paul is speaking of, what the Bible encourages us, is an offering to God. An offering. We're giving out of our very selves, out of all that we have to God. We're not collecting bits and bobs. We're offering our all. We're offering the best in God's service. So on a Sunday morning, it's the offering we uplift. It's not a collection we take. I don't want your bits and bobs. I don't want your dross. God wants you to offer your very lives to Him in worship, in service. And so we come and we offer what we have to God. And offering Him our money, of course, we offer Him all that we have. So what are these five biblical principles before I start wandering off here, there, and everywhere this morning? We begin with giving to God that is regular. In verse 2, Paul says, on the first day of every week. On the first day of every week. The first day is Sunday. This is the day the early church set aside specifically to worship God. Now, of course, we learn in Acts chapter 2 that they worship God every day as they met together and set time aside to worship God. But Sunday was the main day set aside for them. Jesus was raised back to life on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Later that day, the disciples were together in a locked room. It would be stretching, I think, to say that they were worshipping, because they were probably sitting there in bewilderment, wondering what on earth had just happened in the preceding days, trying to get their minds around the fact that this friend of theirs had suffered and died upon a cross and then somehow miraculously come back to life again. But this was a pattern they were beginning. It was a week later, Sunday again, when they were in a room together as Jesus came amongst them. Pentecost was on a Sunday. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we read that the believers gathered together on the first day on Sunday to break bread together. And so we gather regularly every Sunday to worship and to praise God. And it's on this first day of the week that we are to give as well. We come prepared and ready to offer God our gifts. We offer Him our worship and our praise. And by jingo, see when you sit down the front there and all the voices are behind you, you hear the worship and the praise that's offered to God. We offer Him our monetary gifts. And we offer, I hope, our very lives in service. How do you view the offering? Be honest. Is it a distraction that happens during the service? Is it an add-on extra? Or is it part of your worship to God? It ought to be the latter. But is it for you? The point being made here by Paul is that giving must occur regularly. It shouldn't only happen when one feels generous or feels particularly led to do so or is instructed to do so for a specific purpose. Giving should be regular. The practice encouraged by Paul is regular giving on the first day of the week. And for some of us that's difficult to do, for we give by standing order. We have those opportunities these days. And I want to say thank you for giving in that way. This is regular giving as well, and indeed a good practice to have. We personally have never gone down the line of standing orders, partly because we always like to put something into the offering plate. Maybe it's a learned habit over many, many years, I don't know. But the other side of that is it's a good example to our kids. Our kids see that every week, on the first day of the week, on the day we come to worship, part of our worship is our giving to God. That's a personal choice, though. I don't want to push you down either line, but we just need to make sure that our giving is regular. The first day of the week, the day we are to give. Is it the only day? Certainly not, but it is the primary day. This is the day we come when we've thoughtfully and carefully thought through what we're going to give to God in the offering, specifically for the work of the church. On other days, needs will arise that we will feel led to and want to give to. Part of being God's people, part of being the church, is giving regularly each week as we worship. Notice that as well as being regular, on universal here, we're not talking about any universalist principles that say there are many ways to God and we can all walk in them. There is only one way. When I speak of universal, I mean everyone is involved in the church, in the family of God. Verse 2, on the first day of the week, each one of you, it says, giving is for everyone. It's for all. It's not just for the rich, not just for those who are generous. It's for each one of us. Paul says, each one of you. There are no exceptions. God expects all of his children to be involved in the financial needs of the ministry. It doesn't matter what your financial status is, as we're all called to give and to be part of it. It was Jesus who spoke to the disciples in Mark 12 about the widow who was giving her very mite. Jesus told his disciples, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything. All that she had to live on. Everyone within the church is involved in giving. Doesn't matter if you're getting on in years and you think you're off the hook because the younger people ought to be carrying the burden. And you're not off the hook just because you're a young person and you think, I don't work, I don't have a job, I'm not at school, I'm at school, I'm at college. We're all called to give to the work of the Lord. There's a great opportunity for parents. For parents to encourage their children from a young age about giving. Set them an example, firstly, by giving yourself regularly. Then teach them how to do it themselves. Have them set aside a proportion of their pocket money to offer to God. You know, sometimes I think we miss out on teaching our children here in church. We leave the offering until they've disappeared to creche and to Sunday school. And yes, there's sometimes a collection. I'm going into that word myself. There's an offering. Lift it up. It's always good to chastise yourself first, isn't it? Always good to chastise yourself first. And you need to hold me accountable for using words too. There is always, often, an offering taken up in the Sunday school as well. We teach our kids as we train them up. And maybe, just maybe, we'll think about doing the offering when the kids are still in the church some Sunday to encourage them of what giving is from a very young age. And many of you will have done that over the years with your children, and I commend you for it. Paul moves us on, though, from regular and universal giving, that giving each week, week by week, regularly. He moves on by encouraging us all about our giving, to talk about systematic giving. Verse 2 again, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. The Greek word for save there is thesaurizo. It's where we get our English word thesaurus. And a thesaurus, of course, is a treasury of words. Here the call is to set aside a treasury of money to be devoted to the Lord's work. So when Paul commanded the church to put aside and to save, he called for an organized, planned, deliberate, thought-out manner of giving. Paul calls for us to be systematic. We're to plan it out. We're to think it through. Do you know, when you go into, those of you who work in offices, when you go into an office on a Monday morning and you see the pile of paperwork that's in your entry, what do you do? Do you grab it and throw it up in the air, and then wherever the first bit lands, you pick that up and you deal with it, and then you scurry around and think, oh, let's pick that bit up and deal with it there. Of course you don't. You wouldn't get on very well. Although I dare say some people still work like that in some ways or others. We think through systematically how we're going to do our work on the day, hour by hour, minute by minute, as we pick the pieces up. Paul encourages us to think systematically about our giving as well. Think it through thoroughly. Think it through logically. Organize it. Plan it. Be deliberate in your giving. How different that is, though, to our church giving sometimes, isn't it, friends? When the offering is announced, we're in a different church maybe that we're not used to. What do? We scramble around in our pockets or in our handbags. And by jingo, if you're ever trying to scramble around in a handbag, it's a tough job. We see what coins are there to pick out. Friends, we've been challenged here to think carefully about our giving. We've been challenged to prioritize our giving, to think it through before we come to church. And we're not simply being asked to consider our giving on a Sunday, but we've been asked to consider throughout the week our dealings with money. I don't know about you, but I was challenged some years ago about my giving. And from that time when the paycheck arrives, the first thing we do is think systematically about our money. And we think about our giving to the church, to the Lord's work. That's the first bit that comes out of the paycheck every month. Do you know, I'm encouraged when I go visiting folks and you hear folks talking about their giving of practices from years ago, before it was paychecks and before it was banks, when it was cash in your hand on a Friday afternoon. Sitting talking to folks who would say to me that they would sit there at the dining room table and they would work out firstly which was the Lord's money. And then they would think through what they needed for food and for the bills and for leisure activities and anything that was left over. You know, sometimes we get our priorities all wrong though. Sometimes we think about the bills, we think about the food, we think about the new togs that I need just to make myself look smart on a Sunday. And then if there's anything left, we give it to God. What a disservice. What a disservice to our God. Even from very early on in the scriptures, we read of bringing the first fruits as an offering to God, the first fruits. In the middle of the scriptures, in Proverbs 3 and 9, we read, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine. And of course, we don't give to receive back. That's not what we've been encouraged to do. But there is a recognition that as we give to God, God will always, always look after his children. He will supply all of our needs in Christ Jesus. We will never be in want. Systematic giving. Think it through logically, carefully. Think through firstly when the paycheck comes in, or the pension comes in, or the pocket money comes in, whatever it is, think through firstly, which is God's. Straight up. And then think about the other things. And by jingo, see if there's some stuff left over at the end. Why don't you give that to the work of the Lord as well? That's what you would encourage us to do. Two little boys were given a box of chocolates each by their grandfather. The first boy grabbed the package from his father. Grandfather ran straight to his bedroom. He ripped off the covering. He tore into it. He stuffed the chocolates into his mouth until he was just one big mess of smeared chocolate everywhere. Maybe you've seen children do that. Maybe they've done that yourself. The other boy unwrapped his present carefully there in front of his grandfather. He opened the box. He looked inside at all of the lovely chocolates that were in there and he began to drool. And then he raised the box to his grandfather and said, thank you for giving me these chocolates. Here, you have the first one. And so systematic giving encourages us to think carefully through our giving and to give to God the first fruits of our income. And if this hasn't been a practice of yours, I encourage you to think about it carefully today. Paul moves on. Verse 2 as well. Wonderful verse that. So much in there. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Set aside. Set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Our giving is proportionate. We are called to give. We thought of that a moment or two ago. But since we do not all earn the same, or we all have the same levels of income, so our giving cannot be the same in regard to amount. We cannot all give a certain flat amount. If we did, some would give all they had, others would give barely a penny. Those who have more are challenged throughout Scripture that they are required to give more. And those of us who have less are required to give less. We're challenged here to give proportionately, to give in line with our income. But you know the great thing in all of this? God isn't looking so much at the amount we give, but He's looking at the percentage of our income that we choose to give. Or better put, He's looking at the sacrifice we choose to make. I like the way that great man of faith, George Mueller, we talked of, we used an illustration about him last week and the orphanage that he had. This is what he speaks about for giving. Listen to this. God judges what we give by what we keep. Ouch. God judges what we give by what we keep. Takes us back to the widow with her coins, doesn't it? Jesus said it's not about the amount, but about the proportion. She sacrificially gave her all. And that's what God looks for from us as well. To give sacrificially our all. When we come to think on proportionate giving, we ask ourselves, what proportion? The Bible, I think, is again clear on this. We are to give joyfully what we've set aside in our hearts to do. I haven't answered the question. Okay, well, the Bible teaches us in the Old Testament of giving a tithe. A tithe is 10% of our income. It's a starting point. It's not the all. It's where we begin. Abraham gave a tenth of everything he had gained in battle to the Lord, we're told in Genesis 14. You can flick through and read that this afternoon. A tithe then is giving 10%, a tenth of everything we have to God. Now in churches we don't teach this as often as we perhaps could. It's a great principle to work with in considering our giving to God. Throughout the Old Testament we read that people always gave their tithe to the Lord. They always gave the first 10% of their crops, or their produce, or their income. Fresh from battle, the first thing that Abraham wants to do is give his tenth to God joyfully in an offering. He recognized that God gave him everything, so he wanted to give back to the Lord. Now many would claim there is no teaching on tithing in the New Testament, so we should just ignore it, forget all about it. I'd have to say this isn't strictly true, because Jesus himself in Luke chapter 11 speaks to the Pharisees about their tithing. And he says to them, you tithe, but you don't act justly in other matters, and you don't love God. I need you to act justly. I call you to love God, and I call you to keep giving your tithe as well. James Montgomery Boyce speaks about it this way. Although the tithe is not mentioned in the New Testament, the giving of weekly offerings is, the passage we're looking at. And more importantly, it's generally the case that in the New Testament, the obligations of the Old Testament are heightened rather than lessened. That is, the law is interpreted in its fullest measure. So while we're not required to give a specific tenth of our income, it is hard to think of a normal Christian. This is Boyce's words, Montgomery Boyce's words. It's hard to think of a normal Christian blessed with the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ doing less. Under reasonable circumstances, any true believer in Christ should give more than a tenth. For all we have is the Lord's. That being said, I don't think time will permit us to go in and look at tithing in any great way this morning. I do believe it's a biblical principle. Paul encourages us here to give proportionately. And I just want to encourage you to think, if you don't already, consider tithing as a starting point for your giving. And let me finish quickly with the fifth and final principle of giving from this passage, which is that it ought to be voluntary. I cannot and would not want to force you from the front of a church in a pulpit to give. Many preachers, sadly today, go down that line through manipulation, through guilt, through otherworldly tactics. Paul doesn't go down that route either. He simply says in verse 2, speaking from his heart, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul was not wanting to have to take an offering when he was going to come and visit them shortly. The letter was sent in advance of him coming. He longed for them to be giving already for this. He didn't want to force them into it before he came and when he came. He wanted them to choose to give. and all giving should be voluntary. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul would speak of the Macedonian church, the Christians there, who in chapter 8 were overflowing with joy, who had rich generosity, who gave as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They gave because they wanted to give. Paul reminds us again in 2 Corinthians 9 and 9, each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our giving should be voluntary. Don't feel pressurized into giving a little or into giving a lot. Give what you're able to. Give as you desire to. The only one thing I ask you to do is to prayerfully consider your giving. Think it through. Don't just turn up on a Sunday and scramble in your pocket or your purse for some change to place in the offering plate. Think it through and give as God leads and as you decide cheerfully. And so this morning, five principles of giving for us. In our giving, we are to be regular. We are to come ready and prepared on the first day of the week. A giving is universal. Each one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, from the richest to the poorest, are called to give. We're to be systematic in our giving. Our giving should be thought through. It should be planned out. It should be proportionate. That means it's in keeping with our income, remembering that the tithe is the minimum amount Scripture would encourage us with, and it should be voluntary. We should give because we want to give, not because we feel forced into it, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And our challenge this week, our challenge, my challenge and your challenge, is to think through this message and to think through our giving. Do we give regularly? If not, how can we do that? Speak to Colin, he'll give you envelopes, he'll give you gift aid forms. And there's a whole talk on gift aid being beneficial for us as well. But that's for another day and occasion. When did you last review the amount that you give? When did I last review the amount that I give? Is it still proportionate to our income? We get pay increases year on year. The pension goes up year on year. Does our giving go up year on year? Mind you, maybe in the current financial climate, it's not going up any at all. Review your giving. Review it regularly. Think through what you give to the Lord's work. I believe that many of us here do give sacrificially, and I want to encourage you in that. I want to thank you for that. I just hope this morning has been an encouragement to all of us in regard to our giving. Keep it going. Pray about it. Consider it. And give cheerfully what you've decided in your heart to give on a regular basis. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your amazing grace. We want to thank you for the reminder this morning that you gave your all for us as you gave your one and only Son. As Jesus suffered and died upon the cross of Calvary, as he became dirty, as he took on our sin in order that we could be without sin, in order that we could be clean. Father God, we thank you that Jesus died, that we might be forgiven for all of our sin, that we could be saved and redeemed. And we praise you and we thank you for that. We thank you as Paul speaks of that. He then speaks of giving to the Lord. And Lord, when we have received so much, is it only natural that we would want to give so much back to you in return? Father God, help us to think through this hard issue of giving. It's never an easy one to speak of. Never an easy one to listen to. But Father God, I pray that you'd help each of us, speaker and listener alike, to go away and to consider our giving this week, to think it through in line with Scripture, to think it through in line of what you have given to us. And Father God, help us, not under compulsion, not because we're forced into it, but help us to give to you cheerfully and joyfully from our hearts, because we love you and we want to serve you. And we want to see your kingdom grow and develop. We want to see ministry undertaken. And we realize sometimes that that involves money. And so, Father God, help us to give to you. But not just to give our treasures, not just to give our money. But, Father God, help us to consider as well giving of our time as well. That needs to be regular. That needs to be thought through. That needs to be committed and done voluntarily and cheerfully. Help us to think of giving our all to you in worship and in service. We thank you that you are the one who leads us and the one who guides us. Settle your word upon our hearts now, each one, and allow us to think through what you've been saying to us this morning by your Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.